I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views, from Absinthe to Zinfandel. Everyone needs a spirit guide.
Hello, everyone. This is happening. It's the Drink Talking. It's all about drinking responsibly, drinking less, drinking better. It's the latest episode, and as ever, I'm joined by Sam Capon, the Mistress of Wine. I must say, you are looking absolutely beautiful today.
Thanks very much.
And Tom Sandham, my colleague, you are looking very sexy.
Good. I'm glad you didn't. I thought maybe you'd overlook my looks.
No, I think you're looking wonderful.
Well, it's good, because I'm in January, getting plenty of sun,
cocky top.
Been eating well.
Yeah.
I haven't got two kids getting me up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm really putting a lot of time into me.
It's good times.
Do they get up that time every morning?
Joseph at the moment is, he's 4 and he's getting up in the night probably once at least and twice, and usually awake at 5:30. We've got the night clock, so he's going to 6 o'clock because I'm saying if you can sleep through the night, you get 50p, which goes towards buying him a Han Solo, which sounds...
It's a character, not a lifestyle.
So we are trying to get him through that, but he's not a sleeper, what can I say? Mm. Samuel, the other one, he sleeps. Mm. But then he can't get out, he's in a cot. So
tough
shit, really.
He's stuck there, mate.
I mean, he cries and he makes noise, but he can't get out, he's in a cage.
Yeah. So there we go.
That's my life at the moment, listeners. You're welcome.
So, but regardless of that, I think you're both looking great, and I fancy you both. So I'm hosting today, and it is going to be wonderful. I'm doing a bit of swallow. Now, my swallow, well, I like to think that shower time is thinking time.
Mm.
Do you, when you're in a shower?
I was just watching, it's quite funny. It's a movie called Girls Trip that you've heard about. It's a comedy, and it's a load of ladies who went to school together, and they go on a trip to, you know, the musical place.
New Orleans.
Yes, they go to New Orleans. Mm. And one of the ladies is divorced, and they basically said, when's the last time you had sex? And she goes, oh, I'm fine, I've got a very strong shower head.
Of course.
So there you go. Yeah.
Well, I've tried that, but I've got a static shower head.
Oh, you can't take it down.
It's big, so...
Yeah. I think it needs a detachable head.
Yeah,
it doesn't work so well with the sink. Tap, does it? I've tried it.
No hose.
The water pressure. Hose, you can, sometimes. I've learned
washing
I can put
machine.
My water pressure
washing
up.
Washing machine.
Apparently.
Anyway.
I say.
Shower time is thinking time. I do a lot of thinking in the shower.
How long does it take you to have a shower?
Well, it's just sometimes it's just like the water's cascading onto your head and you're thinking, right, what have I got to do today?
Wash.
I've got to wash. You know, I've got my family shouting at the door, get out, and all those things. But it is good time. And so I was quite pleased when I saw that a Swedish brewery called Pang Pang, which translates from Swedish into English as Bang Bang, I didn't know that, based in Stockholm, they have teamed up with what sounds like a bunch of bell-end sort of Shoreditch type marketing idiots. They've produced a thing called Shower Beer. Now, this is a 10% pale ale, and it comes in this quite small glass bottle.
Is this your spit? Or you'll swallow.
Swallow. I quite like this.
Well, if you're in the shower and you're washing your hair and you're in there for a while.
Well, hang on. Okay, because it's a 10% ABV double pale ale, which is essentially an IPA. And it's specifically marketed for drinking in a shower. Now, one thing they've done is that they put it in this quite small bottle, but it's a glass bottle. And I think, firstly, they should put that in a plastic bottle. But the beauty of it is they use Citra hops, and they've developed what they claim to be a kind of slightly soapy taste to it, which doesn't sound great. But it also works
as a shampoo.
As a shampoo.
That's okay. What I'd use it for. I remember vividly reading a Judy Blume book years ago, and the lady, she was the heroine of the story, had this amazing long brown hair, and she was very poor, but she washed her hair in beer.
Yeah.
And that sort of gave it its lustrous shine.
Which brings me
sounds
on.
Sounds like a great read.
Yeah.
Judy Blume, you say? Get me on Amazon now.
So it's just an idea. And I thought, we're all parents of small children, and when we do get the option of going out, we haven't got much time. Because once you put them to bed,
you just want to get out the door.
You want to get out the door, and you want to get back not too late, so the whole horrific day, the next day, can begin again.
And you pay a babysitter less.
But then, exactly. So when you're in the shower, it's dead time. Whereas if you're like, I'm in the shower,
I can start my evening.
I can start here.
Yeah. I don't know though. I think I'd want something that kills germs more, and maybe is aromaless, doesn't have additives to make me smell. So perhaps this is a move to get vodka into your shower process.
Why not have, why not put vodka in the shower system?
Wow, yeah.
And it's just coming down on you.
Because if when you're heading out as well, you don't want to spend all your money in the pub, do you? You want to do a bit of indoor drinking.
Yeah, knacker drinking, I think it's called.
What's it called?
Knacker drinking. So it's
playing kind of catch up before you go
out. Well, yeah, it's basically loading up. So then when you go to the pub, you can go, I'll have a soda water, please. And you're annihilated.
Because that's exactly what happens as well, isn't it? You don't just drink more.
No.
So that's silly behaviour.
But they've also done a thing called Bong Water, which is 11%, and it's a Cohiba cigar-infused oily imperial stout. It's made by turning their fermenter into a massive bong and smoke cigars through the beer to impart the flavour of fine tobacco. I don't know the guys from Pang Pang. They could be really nice guys. I bet you they're achingly cool.
Well, and you're reading about what they're doing, Ben.
And I'm propagating what they
many
are.
Thousands
but
of
I think bong water sounds awful.
I wouldn't, in honesty, be rushing out to buy either
No,
of them.
And do you know what? I find people who bang on about cigars a bit dull, don't you?
I mean, I've been in cigar aficionado, Ben, as my luxury lifestyle, of course. It's difficult for you, I suppose, because you're looking at Lambert and Butlers,
I'm more
Benton
and Hedges man,
Yeah, so it is tough for you to, I think, look at a cigar smoker without anything other than the resentment of a peasant. But I like a cigar every now and then.
I
when I was in Hennessy, in fact, you know, I told you about that time.
Oh,
private jets. We were sat there in the atrium at the end of the evening smoking Cahibas.
Drinking. Basically, you need to have something once in your life, something of some kind of substantial size in your hand. Anyone who smokes cigars,
it's just the resentment. The resentment
amazingly
of a
minuscule dong.
But what about, Ben, we've got a friend in common who likes to smoke a cigar.
Who's that?
Flair.
Oh, well, she doesn't have a dong.
There you go.
Yeah, she's a lady.
She likes
what
a cigar.
Size feet have you got, Ben?
15.
Oh, that was just your swallow. What's your spit?
My spit, sort of linked to it, is this idea that beer is always unhealthy, and it reminded me of a trip I did to Switzerland once where I went into this beer spa. Now, it's a place in It's a beer spa. Top right hand corner of Switzerland is a place called Appenzell, and Appenzell is fucking weird.
Okay.
Right. It's proper rural country where cows massively outnumber people. If you go to the sort of local town in Appenzell, which I think is called Appenzell, I can't quite remember.
He's really done his homework.
They hang teaspoons from their ears. A lot of farm. They wear these funny hats. And so they all look like kind of...
Why on earth?
80s, all a bit 80s. Anyway, they... There's two things I should say here.
A bit 80s.
Well, I don't know. They're sort of dangling men with dangling earrings. It's kind of a bit 80s, wasn't it?
Teaspoon earrings.
Yeah, well, no. But yes, no one in the 80s hung teaspoons from their ears. But men in the 80s, you would have seen much more common
hoops
and the like. Anyway,
pirates.
Bigford cheese. It's very rural. It's a kind of laughing stock of Switzerland, which in itself is a bit of a laughing stock of Europe. But anyway.
They've got money, I mean, they've got money, the banks and
clocks.
But anyway, yeah, there's this place there called Bear With Me, because it's a very Swiss name.
Bear With Me.
It's Hotel Hof Wiesbad, and they've paired up with these guys at the Locker Brewery, which is one of Switzerland's oldest independent breweries, and they've created a beer spa. And I went there a few years ago, and you get
back second grip.
Well, no, they didn't do that, but you had to. I did get an all over. They should have done, man. I needed it. My God. There's no beer in the world to get rid of that stuff.
God, it's just spewing out of you. Look at it. Wiry, curly hair everywhere.
Did you ever share a bedroom? When you share a bedroom, you must share a bathroom.
Yeah.
Do you keep the door open?
No, only if I'm feeling, you know, in the mood. No,
Why would we keep the door open?
Well, having said that, when we did Barnard Castle, I did, yeah, because I was listening to Final Score while I was having a bath. They didn't have a shower, so I had a really nice long soak. I got myself nice and relaxed before we had to go and give 2 hours of high energy comedy. I just got myself really in the mood.
Got some Raynaud's on the go.
But no, we don't, as a rule, look at each other in the shower.
No. Well, I do, but you don't know I'm doing it. Yeah.
Just wanted to clear that up.
Anyway, I did this amazing massage there where they got malt grains and they give you a proper scrub.
Nice exfoliation.
Really good exfoliation. Then they do a hot bath.
Ooh, nice.
And they use hop oils for the massage. It was quite relaxing, but there was a very strict no pants rule. Mm. Like, so I was stark bollock naked for the whole thing. And so I came out of it quite stressed.
Did you have a female practitioner?
She was amazing. She was amazing. Yeah. And so I came out like some kind of Vietnam vet. I was just thinking of the worst things I could possibly think of in an attempt to not
enjoy myself.
Yeah, exactly. But also, as an aside, it's a full kind of detox, but they do serve Swiss Kobe beef there, which is... There's a local farmer, and I went to meet him, and he was a very interesting guy. And he massages cattle using suds from the brewery, which is what Kobe beef is. You relax them.
Yeah.
And I had to... I spent the afternoon scrubbing these cows.
And at the time,
it was freezing.
Get a jersey, then.
Stop it. And so I was wearing a scarf... Like, you know, that cool way that all the, you know, cool people wear scarves.
Knotted.
Like, sort of like that knot you'd do like that. And I was massaging the cow, and it's quite, you know, you have to concentrate. And his cow started munching my scarf. And I was like, but it wouldn't let go. And the more it ate my scarf, the tighter the scarf got around my neck. And I actually had to call the farmer over, and he had to cut my scarf off.
So this wasn't part of the ritual in the spa?
No, this was some sort of weird asphyxiation ceremony.
This was
death by cattle.
Yeah, but it was really quite scary. Yeah. And he walks his cows, because they get stressed out in lorries, he walks his cows like 15 miles or something to the abattoir, where they do get killed.
But up until
that point, they're not stressed out.
So the massaging of the cattle makes them taste better because...
Well, because it's relaxing, and there are ingredients within the beer. There's vitamin B, vitamin D. There's lots of things that are there that are apparently very good for making the meat more supple.
Mm. From the outside in rather than inside out.
Exactly, yeah. Weird. But they also are fed on the grains that come from the brewery as well.
So the beer is essential, integral to
the Kobe beef. Mm. But they get... And then the whole thing was he worked out that no matter how relaxed you make the cows with beer, that when you put them in a big truck and they're going to make stress out. And so all the good work is undone.
Is that the same for all Kobe beef or just Swiss Kobe beef?
No, I think it's that's how they do it in Japan, I believe.
Yeah, I think I'm right.
Yeah, so there we are.
Yeah.
So that's my spittle swallow.
Yeah.
Now, Tom, I think you're doing a tasting.
I am, yes. We're going to taste mezcal today, Ben.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare.
That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a podcast.
It's the drink talking.
Sam, this is a challenging agave spirit. We've done tequila on the show before. I can't remember how you fared with that, if you enjoyed
it. Surprisingly okay, you given the fact that I don't like tequila.
Okay, well, this is going to be a step in a slightly different direction. So
it makes me think of, what's the trippy one beginning with A?
Absinthe.
Yeah.
Okay, well, probably the associations with worms and people eating worms and hallucinating. Mezcal being an umbrella term for agave spirits, but actually in this instance, so tequila is made using agave, but very specifically blue agave, and they have to use that to make tequila. Mm-hmm. When it comes to mezcal, they can use a host of other varieties of agave, and there are hundreds of different types of agave, and they tend to restrict themselves to maybe around 30. There is an appellation of origin, like there is with tequila, so it is a protected spirit. Predominantly, it's made in Oaxaca, which is spelt O-A-X-A-C-A. So it doesn't look like it sounds. Oaxaca.
Oaxaca, Oaxaca,
Oaxaca. Oaxaca, Oaxaca. That's where most of this happens, but it can be made in other parts of Mexico. And the reason that it's being celebrated more recently is because it's a very rustic artisan spirit. And as our listeners included are now asking more questions about what they're drinking, where it comes from, and digging a bit deeper into the stories behind it, I would argue that when it comes to authenticity, mezcal is probably one of the last sort of bastions of genuine, authentic artisan techniques. So for a start, when it comes to making the tequila, they take these agaves and they bake them in pits in the ground. So they actually dig big holes and they line them with stones, and then they light a fire in this big crater, and then they dampen the fire, the flames down, and then they bung in all the agaves and cover it with mud, which is pretty rustic. And then they leave them there for days to bake so that all the sugars
start to... Don't you sometimes wonder how people found this out in the first place? Like, what a random thing to decide to do.
Yeah, I mean, we're going all the way back to the indigenous people there and how they would cook and bake things. But it's an oven. It's known as a hornos, an oven, but it's incredibly traditional, and they still do it. And if you actually want to find some of these tequilas, they're made on a very small scale. You have to go into some of those harder to reach places in Oaxaca, go into villages where people are literally still making this tequila as the mezcal maker in the village and exchanging it for goods. Yeah, it's a proper
currency.
Which you don't see much of anymore in terms of spirits production. Everything's been commercialised. The fact that mezcal is arriving in England at the moment and Britain and is becoming popular with bartenders is evidence that someone has had some sort of commercial inkling as to the value of it. The big thing to say about it is the way it differs from tequila is that it's quite smoky. And because of the way it's made and the earth, the influence of the earth and the different agaves and the way they're baked, gives it a very smoky quality, which stays with it all the way through distillation. So we're getting more, I suppose, if you were comparing it to something like whiskey, going from Speyside sweeter whiskies to Islay, smoky whiskies. So I'm bracing you for that ahead of the game. So this is, if you
like, the first thing I notice is the deep urine colour.
Well, we're going to have
comparison.
Yeah, it's tough on this particular brand. Los Desantes. Now, this is an aged mezcal. Mm-hmm. So the reason you've seen the colour is because it spent time in oak barrels. Mm. So that's the influence of the wood. And if you didn't age it, then obviously it would come out transparent. So you can age it in the same way that you age a tequila. They have the same classifications. So you'll have your Hoven or your Young, your Reposado, which will be aged for a minimum of 2 months, and Añejo, which would be aged for a minimum of 12 months. So in that respect, it's very similar to its cousin. But as I say, the way it's made is going to give it some slightly different qualities. Now, we're drinking the Los Docentes, and it is a Reposado. So although it only has
cute
to spend
label
a
as well.
Minimum,
I like the packaging.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful bottle. We'll
lovely
take a picture and put it on Twitter.
Bottle,
it's a fantastic
cute label. It looks really premium.
And also, the reason I've busted this one out first is because it is a very nice, soft introduction to this spirit, and it actually doesn't have a lot of the assertive smokiness of other mezcals.
Oh, it's pretty smoky though.
But it's got a touch of it, but it's you're enjoying it, and I think that's it. If you're new to the category and you go too smoky,
it's very distinctive, really peaty, smoky.
Yeah,
I think what's interesting with mezcal is a lot of people are talking up as the big new thing, the new tequila, and if you pick the wrong one, it can be a real, that's it, you're done with it.
And whereas the comparison to whiskey, again, if you start at Laphroaig, you're going to say, maybe don't like whiskey, when there's a whole wealth of agave spirit out there, and it's probably
but
not the place to start.
But this is very honeyed.
It is.
Really lovely
and
honey
I think that aging process helps with it. It was introduced to me
American
by...
American oak, do you know?
Yes, it was. I believe it's American oak. A lot of the oak that's knocking around the world is going to be American oak for
don't
the spirits industry because...
Complicated questions.
Because the bourbon industry only uses it once and then they have to make new bottles. But it was introduced to me by a Scandinavian, actually a guy called John Anders. And John, I apologise, but your surname, Borg Grevnvink
Yes, how you say it. That's exactly how you say it
if you're over there. But he's a real authority on mezcal and aquavit as well. A big year for aquavit, apparently. He works for a company called Amethyst, and they kindly gave us this. Amethyst is a great place to go if you're interested in exploring wider agave spirits, because they've got a whole range of tequilas. They've got the Siete Leguas, which we've mentioned previously in the show, the tequila, but they've also got a nice range of mezcals. So that's a nice, easy one, the Los Docentes. That gets us into it. The company that set it up, they own some restaurants over in Mexico City, and they got passionate about it, and they decided to buy a distillery. So they're not guys from a little village, but they've got a real passion for the stuff, so explore that. The next one we're going to try is the Derumbes Durango, and this is provided to us by Speciality Brands, another company that brings in really interesting spirits. The Diplomatico Reserva Exclusiva that Sam is always banging on about and loves, that's come to us in the past courtesy of Speciality. Go onto their website and you'll find out more about what they've got. They know their onions, and they've been bringing this in. Now, this is going to step it up a bit, so we're going to get more assertive mezcal in the gob here. This is a sort of most northeastern state Durango in the mezcal origin area, and it's known for these agave durangensis, which is known like as ash. The way they cook it, there's a little sort of ashen, woody effects on the agave, and they ferment very carefully. They do all the traditional pits as well. But this particular expression, as well as being quite ashen and woody and smoky, is, I find, quite fruity. And we were really surprised when we got hold of it, because on the nose, if you go back, and I'm understanding, Sam, that you are struggling a little bit, because it's assertive. I mean, it's 45.2% ABV.
I think it's very woody.
It is, yeah. Well, that
sounds
like
ashy.
Ash.
Yeah.
Ash is
but
a
ash
nickname
as in
given
the type
to...
of wood.
But also the influence of the actual agave itself. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't like that.
Do you not?
I hate it.
What?
Okay. Well, Sam is wrong. It's not uncommon in my section for Sam not to like one of the products, because we tend to try and put something in front of you that the people who are new to the spirit might enjoy, listeners, but I'm talking
about.
The
first one's lovely.
And the second one is really for the people who are already aware of agave spirits and they've already explored tequilas and they've maybe even heard of mezcal and they want to step it up. And indeed, it's for the people who know mezcals, because this is not very available. It's hard to come by. The people like the American Bar at the Savoy have put in a special request for it. We've got it in a test bottle. They haven't given us a full bottle of it because it is harder to come by. But that's what we want to do. We want to introduce our listeners to stuff that might not be heard of before. I really like it in small quantities, and I think the way that mezcal is being used by bartenders.
Would you have it straight?
I was going to say, this is it. They would use it in cocktails as well. Mm. And I think that's probably a nice way to introduce yourself to mezcal. Just a hint
subtle.
Of it.
See, I think that.
What do you think, Ben?
The second one is a much more rustic example of mezcal from just in terms of the flavour profile. But I think drinking it neat, it's 45.2%.
But the first one's 43.2%.
Yeah, so they're both quite they're pokey. Strong. But I do think a drop of water, lengthening that with, I mean, I'm not a mixologist, something with a slice of lime or something, all of a sudden
it's... Or putting some of those things like honey in there just to sweeten it.
But the first one is very much more approachable, whereas the second one, I would say, is for your hardcore mezcal.
That's the way, that's what I hope to present to you today.
First one gets my vote, but very interesting.
But at least you liked it, and
thanks,
that's good.
No,
that's
really
mezcal, and we'll probably come back to it later in another podcast. So.
Fab.
Well done, everyone. I think we were good critics there. Fair but
firm. Firm but fair.
I'm hosting this.
Yep.
And I'm telling you now
that
you need to do some talking about the Legend of Liquor. And let's make this one tight and interesting.
It is, actually, tight and interesting.
Stop it.
Things that are tight and interesting.
It is actually both of those. So I've gone, my Legend of Liquor is a guy called Rowan Gormley. Do you know who he is?
Not the Rowan Gormley.
No. Do you know who Rowan Gormley is?
I call him Row. Rogo.
So I think this is fascinating. Think how satisfying it must have been for him. Basically, he was...
What did he do?
I'm going to tell you.
That was amazing. Okay. Imagine how that must have felt.
He basically was sacked from Direct Wines, where he was the boss of Virgin Wines, and he was organising a management buyout of Virgin from Direct.
I do remember this.
And he basically got the flick. And it actually was quite dramatic because he went into this meeting and I think he thought they were going to like discuss the purchase price and how it was going to work, yada, yada, yada. And they basically passed over a piece of paper that basically said, you're fired. He left the building. They'd turned his phone off and everything. So he's basically left, you know, essentially sacked from Direct Wines, probably over a personality clash. A new guy came in. But what he did was basically stick two fingers up, managed to poach about eight of their top staff and set up Naked Wines.
Now he's Majestic, doesn't he?
Yeah. And then Majestic bought out Naked for 70 million.
He did all right.
And he's taken over.
And he's taken over as the CEO of Majestic. And that buyout, I think, happened in 2015. So in an 8-year period, which I would also like to say, I left Direct Wines in 2008 as well, and I didn't make
you
70
didn't
million.
Quite go
in
the same
period.
No, but look at you go, Sam. Look at you go.
Can we get him on our podcast?
Now listen, do you know Rowan Gormley?
You know what? I don't think our paths ever crossed. We might have said hi or something. I probably saw him in the office or whatever. But I was based in Direct Wines in Thiel in Berkshire, wherever you say it. And he was in Virgin Wines. And I can't remember where their HQ was. I'm thinking more West Way, sort of Bristol-y way. I can't remember. But he's just deeply entrepreneurial. Yeah, like he grew up in South Africa and then he went to work for Richard Branson. He identified the gap in the market for finance and started Virgin Money. And then he started a wine company. He'd kind of spotted that gap in the market with his brother, and then eventually Richard got on board with that as well, and then that got bought out by Direct Wines and he went he's a deeply clever bloke.
Because I was a member of Naked Wines for a bit and I really bought into the whole vibe,
angel investors and
and all the little stories about the winemakers, but and this is going to kind of rain on your parade a little bit here. They were very reasonably priced, but I wasn't massively impressed with the wines that came through. I liked the stories and I liked the feeling of investing, but it felt like the first rung on the wine ladder. And then I joined the Wine Society and then I go to Majestic now, and you see the Naked Wine influence on Majestic. It's much more approachable. First of all, he introduced the whole thing. You can walk into Majestic and just buy one bottle if you want.
Thank God,
Whereas before, I have to buy six, do I?
Which was a company policy. It wasn't it wasn't like a legal thing.
No, they just decided
to make people buy more. And I think they realised.
They were probably right for a while there.
But it was Majestic were not doing brilliantly well when he took over. And he's turned it around from the sounds of things.
I think he's doing well by all accounts.
He's got 70 million.
He's doing jolly well, Percy. Yeah. But he hasn't just he didn't just retire and go and count his money.
Why don't we get him on the podcast? Tom and I had a business idea that we were trying to. We actually got in touch with his predecessor that we were quite pleased about.
We got laughed out of that place, but now he's there. Yeah. Maybe he's a bit more of a mug. It sounds like it.
He's got 70 million. I mean, that is a lot of tax to pay on that. He needs to just throw some
charitable investments, maybe. Yeah. I didn't get onto Naked Wines. I just, you know, www.naked.
Mm. Just came up.
Just took me in different directions. And
But that's it, basically. It's a short and sweet, as you said. But, yeah, Rowan Gormley, how amazing just to be able to basically put two fingers up.
What would be interesting
eight
would
years
be,
later, go, here's my, I've got 70 million.
Boom. What would be interesting is to find out what the other people around that boardroom have gone on to do.
Mm.
Well, I think the guy, I think he is, then he's not working there anymore.
I just raised my fist in salute of this man, and I've realised I didn't put deodorant on this morning. I actually tried to smell quite bad. It might be time to use some of your shower products.
Yeah,
Bella.
Get some shower.
That's it. Basically, you know,
well done,
big up, Rowan.
Rowan, you're
a hero. That was
good.
That was nice. It was legend. It's contemporary. It was entrepreneurial.
And
have you bang on about grapes and climate.
Mostly, it was short.
Nice one. Well, thank you, guys. That was short, sweet, and succinct.
Nice.
Please join us next week when we'll be banging on about booze in a normal manner. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Have a lovely week. Mm. And it's goodbye for me.
And goodbye for me.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.